If you will, take out your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. And we'll begin reading in verse 27, and we'll read down to verse 46. Matthew chapter 27, beginning in verse 27. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole battalion before him. And they stripped him, put a scarlet robe on him, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and put a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they spit on him. They took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him and led him away to crucify him. As they went out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name, and they compelled him to carry his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they offered him wine to drink, mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his garments among them by casting lots. Then they sat down and kept watch over him there. And over his head they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, then come down from the cross." So also the chief priest with the scribes and elders mocked him, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now, if he desires him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" And the robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" What did Jesus do when he made that statement? What did he do when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" So many people were denying that he was the Messiah. And with that one statement, he made it very clear that he was the Messiah. Psalm 22 is one of those psalms that the Jews knew very, very well. It was one that they had sung during their worship of God for hundreds of years. You think about it. They knew it by heart. You think about some of the songs that we learn as young children. We sing it as adults. And we could sing it without the aid of the projector, without our songbooks. You know the words. "Jesus loves me, this I know." And you could continue on right now. For the Bible tells me so. "Little ones, to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong." Or you think about songs like "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound." Another one that you can sit there and by heart you know it. "That saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see." I'm sure there are so many other songs that we could continue singing without the use of a songbook or our projector. This is what Psalm 22 was to these Jews. They knew this psalm by heart. And so when Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Imagine yourself as a Jew there at the cross. You've been mocking Jesus. You've been yelling out, "Crucify him. He is not the Messiah." And all of a sudden you hear him say, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Those who were standing there, their thoughts would have went right back to Psalm 22. So Psalm 22, David writes, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? from the words of my groaning. O my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you our fathers trusted. They trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried and were rescued. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. Yet you are he who took me from the womb. You made me trust you at my mother's breast. On you was I cast from my birth, and from my mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help. Many bulls encompass me, strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me, like a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death. For dogs encompass me. A company of evildoers encircle me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. You see, when Jesus made that statement, my God, why have you forsaken me? They would have remembered the verse that says, all who see me sneer at me. They separate with the lip. They wag the head, saying, commit yourself to the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, because he delights in him. You know what else they would have noticed? They would have noticed the nails that were driven into his hands, and they would have remembered verse 16, where it says that they have pierced my hands and my feet. They would have also remembered verse 18 as they look down and they see those Roman soldiers, and what are they doing? They're dividing his garments. And they would have remembered verse 18 that they had sung ever since they were little children. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. They would have remembered that. And as their eyes began to go from him down to the front of the cross, again, they would have seen those soldiers and what they were doing. What Jesus did at the very end of his life made it very clear that he was the Messiah. In Luke chapter 23 and verse 48, it says, and all the crowds who came together for this spectacle, when they observed what had happened, began to return beating their breasts. You think they remember? When they see all that's going on with that one statement, they knew. They knew who Jesus was. Jesus took their mind back to a psalm that was written hundreds of years before he was even born. And as they were going through Psalm 22 in their head, they are singing this song that they had sung in worship their whole life, playing out right in front of them. Do you believe that Jesus is the Messiah? Those who were there that day and who were throwing insults at him became believers. And when you get to Acts 2 and Peter's talking to the very ones who were there, I know what they thought. I'm sure they were thinking, we killed the very Messiah who we have been looking for thousands of years. He was right there and we killed him. And how could we ever be forgiven of that? We killed the Son of God. Guess what? So did we. Our sins put him there. We've come to a time in our worship, our whole worship, our mind should be focused on what we're doing. But we have come to a time where the Lord said, do this in remembrance of me. We're going to sing a song that's going to help prepare our minds for what we are about to do, to take our minds back to the cross. We examine ourselves. Again, we put him there. We are at the base of that cross. We need to remember what he did for each and every one of us. As we partake of the bread, which represents his body, or the fruit of the vine, which represents his blood that was shed on that cross, our minds should be taken to that cross. And we need to remember that he did that for me. He did that for you. Let's turn our minds and prepare as we sing this song to get our minds focused on the Lord's death.